Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports. Live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios, Bridgestone Arena today, where the Nashville Predators take on the Arizona Coyotes. PK Subban night, which I'm a little surprised PK's getting a night, but PK's getting a night. So tonight is PK Subban night, so be excited about that. It's a game that the Predators, if they think they're going to make the playoffs, they absolutely cannot lose. Now, if I was a Philadelphia Eagles fan after the Super Bowl last night, I would be sick to my stomach. I would not be able to go to work today if I was an Eagles fan. And no, I'm not talking about the James Bradberry hold that you just shouldn't call in the Super Bowl, though that is part of it. The truth is the Eagles were the better team last night. The Eagles outgained the Chiefs 417 to 340. The Eagles ran 72 offensive plays to the Chiefs 53. The Eagles held the ball for 35 minutes and 47 seconds. The Chiefs had it for 24-13. Jalen Hurts out threw Patrick Mahomes 304 to 182. Now, I want you to think about this. If Ryan Tannehill were to out throw Patrick Mahomes, the Titans have to win that game. You cannot lose a game where Ryan Tannehill out throws Mahomes. And Jalen was pretty good, 27 to 38. And yet, why did they lose? There's two real reasons why Eagle fans should be absolutely sick to their stomach. The first reason is what they did to themselves. Jalen Hurts can't fumble the ball. And I know Jalen Hurts played the best game that I have ever seen him play, period. That includes college, where he was 26-2 as a starter. That is the best that I have ever seen Jalen Hurts play in my entire life last night. And he was on fire. But you can't fumble away a touchdown. When you don't have the star quarterback, and Jalen is not the star quarterback in a battle with Patrick Mahomes, you can't give the other team 7 points. Anytime the Titans, for instance, give the other team 7 points, they have no chance of beating a Joe Burrow or beating a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen or anything like that. They need to get their own 7 points and hope that that can be enough to kind of fend off whatever offensive output those guys are going to have. You can't fumble the ball there. The second thing, the punt return to Kadarius Toney. They decided to deactivate Brett Kern because Aaron Sippus, their punter, was healthy, and I guess he practiced well enough. And so I'm not saying this wouldn't have happened to Brett Kern, but I trust Brett Kern punting in the playoffs because I've seen Brett Kern punt in the playoffs plenty of times. But Sippus kicks a low-line drive. Kansas City forms a wall, 65 yards for Kadarius Toney. And so two plays in the Super Bowl essentially gave Kansas City 14 points. The only real mistake Kansas City made was the missed field goal by Butker. Philadelphia played a good game. Great touchdown grab by A.J. Brown, and boy, that hurt. Great catches by Dallas Goedert throughout the course of the game. But you can't fumble away a touchdown, and you can't give up a 65-yard punt return that leads to a touchdown. And here's the other reason why I would be sick to my stomach if I was a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Kansas City will be back. Kansas City, Cincinnati, all those teams with those quarterbacks, they'll be back. They'll have a shot. When you've got a quarterback like that, you've always got a shot. It doesn't matter if you trade away Tyreek Hill. Around here, trading away A.J. Brown's the biggest felony that ever happened in the city of Nashville as far as football's concerned. They traded away Tyreek Hill. And guess what? They're fine because they've got the quarterback. Go back to the past Super Bowls and look at all the teams and the quarterbacks that made it. And I'm talking about elite Hall of Fame guys. If you're not a Hall of Famer, how likely are you to get back to the game? Ian, would you say Russell Wilson is going to make the Hall of Fame, yes or no?
That's a good question. No.
Okay. So we're not counting Russell Wilson as a Hall of Famer here. That's the one guy that's gotten back. You know, Wilson won the Super Bowl that first year against Peyton Manning, and then they lost it against New England. Since then, Cam Newton and the Panthers never got back. They had the dream season, 15-1. They got to the Super Bowl. They lost to Manning and the Broncos, and they never got back. The Eagles, with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles and all of those guys, they never got back. This is a completely different team. Different coach, different quarterback, different receivers, different defense. This is an almost completely different team than the Eagles team that got to the Super Bowl and beat Brady and company in Minnesota when they benched Malcolm Butler. Matt Ryan and the Falcons, when they played Brady and they were up 28-3 and they lost that Super Bowl. Did they ever get back? Nope. I just had the general manager from that team on my show last week. Why? Because he's pumping some analytic football company because he's not GMing anymore. Falcons never got back. Jared Goff got to the Super Bowl. He played Tom Brady. Did Jared Goff ever get back? Nope. So if you don't have Brady or Manning or Mahomes or Burrow, the likelihood of you getting back is not very big. Again, Hall of Fame caliber quarterbacks usually find their way back to the Super Bowl. Drew Brees never did. Now, he got screwed by the referees in the game against the Rams, but Drew Brees never did. But think about it. When the Titans went to the Super Bowl in 99, they didn't have the Hall of Fame quarterback. McNair was a damn good quarterback, but he wasn't a Hall of Fame quarterback. Kurt Warner was. Kurt Warner got back to the Super Bowl twice, once with the Rams, once with Arizona. If you don't have that Hall of Fame quarterback, your chances of getting back are not very high. That's why when you have that season a la Matthew Stafford last year, you have to take advantage of the one chance you get. You have to. It's so hard if you don't have Brady, if you don't have Mahomes, if you don't have Burrow, if you don't have Peyton Manning, if you don't have John Elway, if you don't have that guy, it is so hard to get back. So Philadelphia clearly, in my opinion, had the better team top to bottom last night. Philadelphia probably played the better game. But Jalen Hurts fumbled away a touchdown. They gave up a punt return. And they got duped by that ticky-tack holding call at the end. And if I'm an Eagles fan, I am sick to my stomach today, knowing how hard it is to get back to the Super Bowl. Knowing that when I got there with Donovan McNabb and T.O., that was the one I got to. Andy Reid's a great coach. I just said he was Super Bowl MVP last night. Andy got there once in 2005, and Andy didn't get back to the Super Bowl again for 14 years. Why? Because he drafted a Hall of Fame quarterback. So I look at the Eagles right now, and I see Cam Newton and the Panthers. I see Matt Ryan and the Falcons. I see Jared Goff and the Rams. You only get one chance with a guy like that at quarterback. The Titans got one chance with their guy McNair, and they were 1 yard short, and they never got back again. Peyton Manning gets back to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady gets back to the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes gets back to the Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, he doesn't get back to the Super Bowl. My stomach would be in knots today if I was a Philadelphia Eagle fan. Now, I'm not going to feel too bad for him because they did win that Super Bowl years ago when Bill Belichick decided to bench Malcolm Butler. So good for him. But, man, they're the better team. This was their season. Everything went right for them. Everything went right. They didn't have to face a quarterback-led San Francisco 49er team because Brock Purdy got hurt. The trade they made for A.J. Brown worked out just with flying colors. Hassan Reddick is one of the better defensive players in the league this year. They signed him in free agency. They got Daniel Jones and a team that couldn't throw in the playoffs en route to the Super Bowl. Mahomes re-injured the ankle. And they still couldn't win it because they fumbled away a touchdown and they gave up a punt return. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. A.J. Brown scored last night. Oh, man. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company right here on 1025-1063 The Game. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those are my guys. That's right. Kick off the new year with new upgrades for your home. This month, when you buy something you need for your home, Hiller will give you something you want. Pick your prize, like a free 55-inch TV, an Apple iPad, or a Solo stove, or a Nintendo Switch when you purchase a new whole home generator or select new HVAC systems. Get a free 55-inch TV, a Nintendo Switch, or Solo stove when you upgrade to a new tankless water heater. There's no better time to take care of the necessary home replacements than right now and to do it with Hiller. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My guys been taking care of my home for years. They can do the same for you. Proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Start on the Chiefs 45. Hurts has all day loaded up, taking a shot, looking for A.J. Brown. He's got it! Touchdown!
Watch this adjustment to the ball. Trent McDuffie, number 21, he's in good position. He just loses the ball when he tries to turn around and locate. A.J. Brown has it zeroed in the entire time. Those are the plays they brought A.J. Brown to Philadelphia. The blockbuster trade on draft night. They brought him in to make plays like that.
Oh, it hurts. Oh, it hurt last night. It hurt when A.J. Brown caught that pass for that touchdown. And I've said it, you know, look, I voted for the referendum to trade A.J. Brown. I've said it so many times. And I didn't think they were going to trade A.J. Brown. They did trade A.J. Brown. I wasn't completely against it when they did it. But, man, that touchdown, I think, was a pure example of just how elite of a player A.J. Brown really is. And a buddy of mine who produces for me at SiriusXM is a huge Jets fan. And today the Jets hired Todd Downing to be their passing game coordinator. And he asked me, you know, is this a bad thing? And I was like, it is absolutely, positively a terrible thing for the New York Jets that Todd Downing is your passing game coordinator. And I will never forgive Todd Downing, because even though A.J. Brown was hurt a lot of 2021, we didn't think when they traded away A.J. Brown that they traded away an absolutely irreplaceable player. At least I didn't think that, and I got a lot of your calls at the time, and some of you were really worked up about it, but I think most of you, if you're being honest, you thought, yeah, you know what, probably good riddance. A.J.'s injured. A.J.'s causing problems. Treylon Burks will be less injured than A.J. It'll all work out. So A.J. was good for us, but, you know, it's not the end of the world. And then you watch A.J. Brown catch that pass last night in the Super Bowl. Just a pure 50-50 ball. Hurts just threw it up. Hurts just threw it up. Good coverage by the DB. A.J. still follows through, makes an unbelievable catch in the end zone. A.J. has 6 for 96, a 45-yard touchdown. And I'm like, oh, my God, the Titans traded that away for the 18th pick in the draft. Philadelphia held the 13th pick in the draft. They took Jordan Davis, the defensive tackle, out of Georgia. So the Titans didn't even trade A.J. Brown for the 13th pick. They traded A.J. Brown for the 18th pick and a third-round choice. And again, I was okay with it when it happened. So I'm not piling on right now. But I think I want a new rule, which is no more trading away elite players. If a guy is an elite NFL player, you have to let him roll through his entire prime on your team, unless the guy's crazy like Antonio Brown. But if he's an elite player, you keep him, because it's so hard to get elite players, especially for the Titans. Now, everybody is convinced. I was at a Super Bowl party last night, and everybody at the Super Bowl party was convinced that John Robinson got fired for trading AJ. I'm not convinced it's that simple. I think it was a bigger problem for John Robinson that Isaiah Wilson went off the reservation, and that part of a general manager's job is to figure out whether or not the guy is sane when you're going through the process of trying to draft somebody. I talked to somebody in Phoenix. We were talking about John Robinson and Caleb Farley, and they told me, how could you take that guy? So I think that had a bigger role in Robinson's termination than the A.J. Brown trade. But I watched that last night, and I thought to myself, how do you trade away such an elite player? How do you do that? You don't trade away elite players. You don't do that. And part of me wonders if Todd Downing's incompetence, which should be a knock against Vrabel. Vrabel hired him. Vrabel kept him. Vrabel should own Todd Downing. He doesn't. None of you hold him responsible for that, but I think he should own Todd Downing. Todd Downing probably did just enough to make us think that AJ was really good but not super great. And then he went to a team with a good offensive coaching staff, and they proved that A.J. Brown was a super great player. Just no more trading away elite players. No more. And if a guy looks like he might be elite, if he's a consistent Pro Bowl caliber guy, and right now the Titans have two of those. They did have three. Now they have two. And you know who they both are. You don't move off those guys anymore. It hurts watching A.J. Brown play for the Eagles. I mean, that touchdown pass last night, when I saw that, I thought there was a chance A.J. Brown was going to be the game's MVP. And I thought, oh boy. I thought if A.J. Brown wins Super Bowl 57 Most Valuable Player, we're going to have a whole four-hour show about it. But man, did it hurt to watch that. 615-737-1025. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan in Nashville says, the Eagles coach is obnoxious and talks too much smack into the camera when on the sidelines. Most Eagle fans are jerks. They all got what they deserved. I don't necessarily have a problem with Sirianni. You know, I think he's kind of a goofball a little bit. I don't have too much of a problem with him. I can't figure out how good of a coach he is. Like, I can't figure out if he's just blessed with unbelievable talent where it matters, offensive line, defensive line, wide receiver, or if he's the mastermind that transformed Jalen Hurts into what we saw last night. Take away the fumble, and you can't do that. It's still a part of the story, which is why I thought Jalen Hurts had a good game, not a great game last night, because he did fumble away a touchdown. Jalen Hurts threw for 304 yards in the Super Bowl. He rushed for another 70. We're talking about almost 375 yards of total offense out of Jalen Hurts. I mean, Sirianni's got to get a little credit for that. I've said this time and time again. I think Jalen Hurts is Kyler Murray with a good attitude. Kyler Murray's had players around him. Last year, he had DeAndre Hopkins. He had Christian Kirk before he went to Jacksonville. They traded for Zach Ertz. I mean, he's had good players around him. They had J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones on defense. So, Kyler, you can't say, has had no talent around him. He's just not a good leader. He's got a bad attitude. He's lazy. Jalen Hurts is none of those things. I think their games are eerily similar. Now, we think that it's different because Kyler went with the first pick and Jalen went in the second round. But I really don't think so. I think Jalen Hurts is Kyler Murray with a good attitude, which is still not an elite quarterback. But to have Jalen Hurts put up 370 yards of total offense, you got to give the coach some credit. I'm not sure I'd say the coach got what he deserved, but make of that what you will. Luther is up next on Shane Steichen, who is going to be the next Colts head coach, the offensive coordinator of the Eagles. Go ahead, Luther.
Jared, here's another problem. I'm glad you brought this up, but AJ Brown, that's only one part. But if Shane Steichen can get the Colts figured out, we're going to have not only another problem with the Jags, but we're going to have another problem with the team that we thought we had beaten. and they could come back from the dead, and we could finish up third or fourth in our own division and miss the playoffs altogether.
What makes you so high on Shane Steichen?
I'm not high on him, but what I'm saying is like, if we don't get our stuff together, we got a problem.
I mean, you got a problem right now anyways.
Well, I know we have a problem right now, but what I'm saying is the teams that are ahead of us, well, Jags right now are ahead of us, but think about this. We're sitting second. There's a possibility if we don't get our stuff fixed and Indy figures it out, it may be baby steps, but in the next little bit, we could be third in our own division.
So I think you're being a little overdramatic. I mean, I still think Indianapolis has huge problems on their roster. Thank you for your call, Luther. I still think Indianapolis has huge problems on their roster. I still think Indianapolis has a huge problem at quarterback. And just because you draft a quarterback doesn't mean that you drafted a good quarterback. Because the Jets drafted a quarterback 2 years ago with the second pick, and he freaking stinks. So I don't think that, you know, there's any guarantee there. You know, the Shane Steichen thing, this is what happens. Team wins. Coordinator gets hired. That's what happens. And we never know if those guys are any good or not. We have no idea. But that's what happens in this league. Team wins, hire the coordinator. And you never know if these guys are any good. So I have no feeling on Shane Steichen one way or another. You know, we'll see how he does in Indianapolis. I am bummed out as a Titans fan that the Colts did not hire Jeff Saturday. I was feeling very confident that we were going to get that. My second choice would have been Eric Bieniemy because I hear Eric Bieniemy is a horrendous interview. And so I do wonder if the reason why he hasn't gotten a job is because people meet him and they think he can't do the job. So let's see if he can do the job in that kooky organization in Indianapolis. But, you know, Shane Steichen is what he is. I don't think he calls the plays. I think Sirianni does anyways. It's weird though, right? So Philadelphia has Andy Reid. They fire him for Chip Kelly. And they end up in this mess with Andy Reid or with Chip Kelly, and it's like, please get him the hell out of here. So then it's like, well, we already fired Andy, so we can't bring Andy back because Andy has a job, but let's just go get the next best thing, Doug Peterson. So Doug Peterson ends up as the coach of the Eagles. The Colts then want to be like the Eagles, so they hire Frank Reich. So then the Eagles have to fire Doug Peterson because they're trying to save Carson Wentz, so they go hire Nick Sirianni from the Colts, because it's the second best thing to Frank Reich. Frank Reich gets fired, and now the Colts are hiring Shane Steichen from the Eagles because it's the next best thing to Nick Sirianni. It's an amazing cycle. 615-737-1025. We will get back into your phone. 615-737-1025. Plus, news and nuggets from what I heard in Phoenix. And it's not just, you know, what people said on this show. It's what I heard doing some talking. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Preds fans, hang out tonight before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 1025 and 106.3 The Game. Place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game. If he called you and said, I can make a deal for Rodgers. It'll cost me the 11th overall pick, and I'm going to have to take on $30 million extra at the quarterback position, but I get Rodgers over Tannehill. What would your advice to Rand be?
My advice would, you have to dig down. I think Aaron Rodgers is one of the best to ever play. I think he is really, really talented. Does he still have it? Does he still want it? With all of this other stuff, you know, he's a mature guy, of course, but he's got all of these vision quests that he's going on. I don't want to overplay that. But as a GM, you would go down every alleyway trying to figure out exactly what he is before. I'm not worried about the talent and his ability to huck the ball and do things. I'm not worried about even his leadership ability. He has, of course, born leadership elements. I know some people he might agitate. I just want to know where his head is. If he's only coming there for a year or two, oh my God. When I traded for Tony Gonzalez, I told his agent, you better effing tell me the truth here. I am not going to be in this if he's going to be with me for 1 year because I will be fired. Mm-hmm. Where Rand is right now, he needs to be very, very clear that he's not moving on from a guy who's a good, solid guy and going to a guy that after a year is looking to, you know, pull up his tent and go. That's an important thing.
There you go. That was Thomas Dimitroff on our show, former Falcons general manager who actually hired Rand Carthon into the league. That was Thomas Dimitroff on our show earlier last week at the Super Bowl talking about Tannehill and Rodgers. And so here's what I heard at the Super Bowl. this past week. And a lot of this stuff is kind of, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff. Let's start with the quarterback position of the Titans. Nobody that I talked to, either on the air or off the air, has any idea what the Titans are going to do at quarterback. Literally everybody could see every possibility. Everybody thinks Tannehill's average, but nobody has a sense of, you know, I really hear the Titans are digging around at these young quarterbacks in this year's draft to see if any of them could be franchise guys. I haven't heard anybody say that trading for Aaron Rodgers would be absolutely ludicrous and crazy, and I can't even think of why the Titans would be in the mix or would think about doing it. And I don't have anybody that's saying, oh, yeah, no, you know, Vrabel, he's really content with Tannehill. Oh, yeah, no, Rand Carthon, he loves Tannehill. They're going to go forward with Tannehill. Nobody. I mean, I think they're going to run it back with Tannehill, and I thought what Mike Vrabel said last week when I asked him about what the hiring of Tim Kelly meant for Ryan Tannehill, and he said that Ryan Tannehill was excited and that he told him about the news and that he's in the facility every day. I mean, I thought that that was kind of the closest that we've gotten any real movement as to do they believe in Tannehill or not. But as far as people inside the league, they have no idea what the Titans are doing or what the Titans are thinking. Another thing I heard, I don't think that we can completely rule out DeBear's blog and the report they had that the Titans have inquired about the number one pick in the draft. So a week ago Friday, it came out that two teams, not the Texans, not the Colts, had reached out to the Bears for the number one overall pick, and it came from DeBear's blog. And Ryan Porth told us that DeBear's blog has kind of a bad reputation, but that he does have sources inside the Bears' office. And I found out who his source inside the Bears is when I was at the Super Bowl in Phoenix. And because I now know who the source is, I do believe that that is sourced information. And so I'm not ruling out that the Titans have kicked the tires on the number one overall pick in this year's draft. It doesn't mean that they're going to make a move or that it's imminent or anything like that. But I'm just telling you, after what I found out about who that source was in Phoenix, I'm going to tell you, let's not rule it out as of right now. Another thing I heard in Phoenix, keep the name Mike McGlinchey, the right tackle of the 49ers. Keep Mike McGlinchey in mind as an option for the Titans. Now, I do wonder if the Titans will say no thank you as far as McGlinchey is concerned, because they drafted Nicholas Petit-Ferrer in the third round and he played almost every game this season. But I was not impressed by Petit-Ferrer. Coach Shoup even came on our show and said the Titans should bring somebody in as competition for Petit-Ferrer. At the same time, I don't know if the Titans would feel comfortable flipping Petit-Ferrer to the left side, because even though right tackle is important, it's still not more important than left tackle. But Mike McGlinchey is the starting right tackle for San Francisco, and I don't know what his relationship is with Rand Carthon or what Rand Carthon thinks of Mike McGlinchey. I just know that as free agency approaches, Mike McGlinchey would absolutely, positively consider the Titans, and I think consider the Titans at a fair market value. So keep that name in mind. And then that's another question for Rand Carthon, which is, let's say you feel okay about starting Petit-Ferrer at right tackle. You don't feel good. You certainly don't feel great about coming back with Petit-Ferrer at right tackle. Would you sign McGlinchey so you could feel great about the right tackle spot and then have Petit-Ferrer act as your swing tackle next season, and then you go out and draft the left tackle with the first pick? Just thinking out loud. Again, one thing I heard in Phoenix, keep the name Mike McGlinchey, the right tackle from San Francisco, keep him in mind. Apparently, so another thing I heard in Phoenix, this Baker Mayfield experiment, where Baker Mayfield was in Cleveland, and obviously they didn't like him that much because they moved off of him in order to go get the sexual predator, allegedly, Deshaun Watson. So he's out there. Then he goes to Carolina. Clearly they didn't like him in Carolina. As soon as they got the opportunity to bench him, They took it. They did. They felt much better with P.J. Walker and Sam Darnold. And then he went to the Rams. And I thought Baker did enough to prove himself as a starting quarterback for one of these 32 teams. Now, he might be starting quarterback number 28, but one of the 32 guys next season, I thought Baker Mayfield would have a job. In fact, I thought he'd be in Atlanta. I was told the Rams didn't like Baker. I mean, we saw the games against the Raiders and the Broncos, and it looked like Baker had moved right in with the Rams and that the Rams liked Baker and Baker liked the Rams, and they knew that this was ultimately going to end because they have paid Matthew Stafford all that money. But McVay resurrected Baker, and they, again, I was told the Rams didn't even like Baker. That after having Baker, the Rams are like, nah, no thank you. Which I'm kind of stunned by. I'm not a Baker Mayfield fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think the kid's got some talent. And if you could just rein him in, he could be a pretty good quarterback. We've seen Baker be a good quarterback before, but I was told the Rams hated Baker Mayfield. Amazing. And the last thing that I heard at the Super Bowl, and I'm just going to be completely honest with everybody out here when I tell you this. You all are not going to like it. You all are going to think I'm crazy. But remember that this is not me telling you what I think. This is me telling you what I've heard. There is a legit chance, I mean legit chance, that Will Levis goes number one overall in this draft. I mean, I talked to people who would know. And they would know because the people they talk to are not talking to them as football media people. So, like, take an Adam Schefter or whatever. Everything anybody in the league says to an Adam Schefter is run through the filter of, I know this is a media guy. I heard this from non-media people. And I heard that Will Levis is very much in play for the number one overall pick. That all those things you hear when Mel Kiper just excuses what happened at Kentucky this past year, that NFL teams are thinking that way. Hell, we saw Rick Spielman, the former general manager at Minnesota, put out his quarterback list of how he had these guys graded, and he had Will Levis graded ahead of Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen coming out. So that tells you what he thinks of Levis right there. That's one guy. I was told there is a legitimate chance, a real possibility, that Will Levis is going to be the number one overall pick in this year's draft. Again, I kind of am in the mode of I'll believe it when I see it, and I hope it's not my team that trades up to number one to take Will Levis. But I did hear that he is in play for that spot. The other thing I heard that a football guy brought to my attention is when it comes to trading away the number one overall pick for Chicago, and many people assume that they're going to do that because they've got Justin Fields at quarterback and they probably think Fields is their guy. What I was told was, what is the going rate? I was asked, what is the going rate for a franchise quarterback? And I said, what do you mean? Like Joe Burrow? Yeah. What would Joe Burrow be worth in a trade? If Joe Burrow was available in a trade, I think we'd be starting at four first-round draft choices. Maybe four first-round draft choices and three second-round draft choices. Maybe more. And the person said to me when I answered that, they said, so if you're Chicago and you've used two first-round picks on Fields and you think he's got a chance to be a pretty good quarterback, but are you sold that he's a great quarterback? Why would you not use the first overall pick on a quarterback this year and then say, hey, we've got two guys, and what are the odds? Two high first-round picks, what are the odds one of those guys becomes a superstar? I mean, San Diego did it years ago, and they ended up with both Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers at the same time. And at first, I thought it was crazy because I'm like, you don't need two quarterbacks on the roster. And if you don't draft a Will Anderson or you don't draft a Jalen Carter or you don't draft that kind of guy, then you're going to have to play Will Anderson or you're going to have to play Jalen Carter. Just like the Titans have to play T. Higgins every year because they drafted Isaiah Wilson three or four picks before him. And yet, if Joe Burrow today is 4 first-round draft choices and probably 2 or 3 second-round draft choices, would it not be worth the first overall pick to take a quarterback just to say, hey, I got Justin Fields and I got Bryce Young, or I got Justin Fields and I got C.J. Stroud? And if C.J. Stroud is the next dude, or Bryce Young is that guy, then you trade Justin Fields and you get a haul in return for him. If not, you took your chance. I thought it was a valid claim. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll go right to your phones next. Stelman & Company, right here, 1025-1063. The Game. Hey, let me tell all the fine folks out there that moving is no fun and can be expensive, and you can save on your next move with Nashville's best deal of the week from Black Tie Moving. Get $200 off a half-day move, or just $75 or $400 off of a full-day move for $150 at thegamenashville.com/deals. What do you think about the quarterbacks in this draft?
I mean, I missed the memo that little quarterbacks are back in vogue. I missed that. I didn't know. You know, I mean, Bryce Young's a really good collegiate quarterback. He's 185 pounds, maybe 190. I don't know. He's under 6 feet. I think it's hard. 70 quarterbacks played this year in the NFL, the most since the strike. That means the durability and the health of these quarterbacks is at question. You take a little guy, that's going to be even more at question.
There you go. That was Mike Lombardi, former NFL general manager, now with VSiN, that was on our show at the Super Bowl. And I think that's his way of saying, I don't like him. What do you think of the quarterbacks? When did the little guy become in vogue? When did we get back to doing that? And so, I mean, I don't know what to think of these quarterbacks. I was told there's a real chance Will Levis is going number one overall. 615-737-1025. I did promise to your phones. Texter says, if the Titans move into the number one pick, they are taking a quarterback. Which quarterback would they be taking? So let's think about it like this. First of all, Ian, I told you during the break who the Bears blog's source is.
Correct.
Do you think after hearing that, that you are more convinced than you were before that the Titans have made a play for the number one overall pick?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Let's say the Titans are interested in moving up for the number one. It's absolutely for a quarterback.
Has to be, right?
It has to be. It would cost them their first next year for sure, and probably their first the next year in order to move up and do it.
So three, you're thinking three total firsts?
So if they're going to do it, they better be damn sure who they're getting. Which, again, if this is like Andy Reid moving up to the 10th overall pick to draft Patrick Mahomes, then it'll be worth every penny that is spent. If this is like what the Broncos gave up for Russell Wilson, then everybody gets fired. So you better love these guys. And Lombardi right there, obviously he doesn't love them. You better love these guys if you're going to move up with Chicago in order to get the number one overall pick.
Would it be worth it, or just hope something falls to 11? I guess if you really like the guy, it's worth it, huh?
So here's what I've thought about, is that by my count, there are 3 quarterbacks. I have no interest in Richardson from Florida. No interest. So maybe I should count him, but I'm not, because I just don't think he's very good. There are 3 quarterbacks, 3 left tackles, and 2 really, really good defensive players, Carter out of Georgia and Will Anderson out of Alabama. That gives you a total of 8 guys that, right, like I think the Titans would probably jump on. If one of the quarterback, if they like a quarterback and he's there, they probably jump on him. If they like a left tackle and he's there, they probably jump on him. If they get one of the 2 defensive players, I don't think they have a choice. They have to jump on him, right? If they can get Will Anderson with the 11th pick, I think they have to do it. The question is, okay, if it's not one of those 8, then who? And is it worth moving up in order to get the one guy that you particularly like? I don't know. Texter into the text line says, please let Houston or Indy trade up and draft Will Levis, please. Look, I saw what I saw out of Will Levis at Kentucky last year. I didn't watch every Kentucky game, but I watched him not throw for 100 yards against Tennessee. I watched him not throw for 200 yards and lose at home to Vandy. I watched Will Levis this year, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Mel Kiper Jr. would go on TV and he would say, I'll still think that Will Levis will be in play for the number one overall pick. And I remember thinking, like, how? How could Mel Kiper Jr. think that? How could he think that? And then what I was told at the Super Bowl by somebody who would have access to knowing these things is that there is a legitimate chance Will Levis is going number one overall. What that tells me is that the situation in Kentucky, where their offensive coordinator went to the Rams and they hired Rich Scangrello and their star running back got suspended and all their receivers and offensive linemen went to the draft or graduated, and that Kentucky was a bunch of dog crap and Will Levis was running that dog crap factory. There may be some truth to that. And so, I mean, I wouldn't stake my career on Will Levis, but it sounds like these NFL teams do like Will Levis. I'm not saying that I'm hearing the same things Mel Kiper's hearing or that I'm hearing them from the same people. All I heard was at the Super Bowl was Will Levis could go number one. And I thought, what? Really? Like, come on now. Will Levis number one? Yes. Will Levis could go number one. Josh says, if the Titans get Rodgers at quarterback, the Titans will have wide receivers begging to come to the Titans. Here's the thing about the wide receiver market. I don't know who's going to be available. I know which guys are going to be free agents, and not one of those guys strikes me as an impact caliber player. But think about the best wide receivers in the NFL. They're either drafted by their team or they've been traded recently. A.J. Brown, traded. Tyreek Hill, traded. Stephon Diggs, traded. Devontae Adams, traded. The other guys who are the best guys in the league, like Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith and those guys, Justin Jefferson, they've been drafted very recently. Which makes me think that there could be a wide receiver who doesn't get the contract they want or who's on a team that's going in the wrong direction or something that could ultimately want out, and then the Titans could pounce. And I know T. Higgins is the name that keeps coming up. I had some guy walk into the arena today and say to me, "You're a sports guy, right?" And I was like, "I mean, I guess." He's like, "Did I hear on the radio that we traded for T. Higgins?" I was like, "No, you did not hear that on the radio. I don't know where you're getting that from. Probably Robbie and Joe. I don't know where you're getting that from. But at the same time, they're just saying, maybe one of these guys will be available that you can trade for and that can ultimately replace the giant AJ-sized hole that everybody has in their hearts." Anthony the Plumber says, typical UT fan. Sounds like me, Ian. Big UT fan over here.
Oh, yeah. Grew up a huge UT fan.
Typical UT fan. I hope that somebody drafts Will Levis with the first overall pick and watch him make everybody eat their words when he burns the Titans up every year. Will Levis is definitely the best quarterback in this draft class. You're clearly a UT homer if you don't see it. Again, I think I have a solid enough track record about my feelings towards Tennessee. Now, I treat them fairly. I had somebody say to me yesterday, you know, you don't give the Vols enough credit. I was like, I think that Josh Heupel's done a fabulous job at Tennessee. Now, what I want to know is, was the quarterback elite because of Heupel, or was Heupel really good because the quarterback was elite? And we'll see. Because when Kevin Sumlin didn't have Johnny Manziel, he wasn't the same anymore. So we'll see about that going forward with Heupel. But I am by no means a Tennessee homer. I think everybody probably knows that. But just people want to believe what they want to believe. I don't see it with Will Levis. The only guy that I think is that good is Bryce Young, and he's too small, and I'm worried he's going to get hurt, and he got hurt last year. That's it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 4 years ago when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, I saw the game, the Titans had played in the AFC Championship game. They lost in Kansas City by 11. And the Chiefs beat San Francisco by 11 in the Super Bowl. I took solace out of that. I think we can take solace out of last night's victory for Kansas City as well, and we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, live from Bridgestone Arena, 1025-1063 The Game.